have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Much pain, doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I asked the Lord if he would change my heart. A touch from you would provide a brand new.
Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Welcome to 4D. his glory. I'm Apostle Brian Blessingame, and we're so glad to be back with you again. I'm here with the Lord. I'm also here with my fabulous producer, Kimmy Kim, and we're just glad to be in the number once more and again. This is our first time being back with you since the new year. So we'd like to say Happy New Year to you, and we pray that this be a fabulous new year to you, for you, and your loved ones. Looking at tonight's word and looking at the thought that God has placed upon my heart, it's actually like two different words, two different places I kind of like to look at. Well, actually, it's going to be more than that. It always tends to run a little bit farther than that. But I was looking at something where God was talking about, I will share my secret plans with you. But before we get started, I'd like to have a word in the name of Jesus. We thank you for this another day. We thank you, Lord God, for life, health, and strength. We thank you for a new year. Father, I thank you myself personally, Lord God, because you allowed me to see another birthday. I thank you for it. I'm in good health, sound mind, still able to worship and praise you in spirit and in truth. And we thank you for this opportunity of being able to bring forth your word here with Dr. Kimmy Kim and Elation Radio. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray that this word will go forth and it'll fall on good ground, and that, Father God, it will bring forth fruit, and that the fruit will remain. In Jesus' name, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory for it, in all we do. Amen. As I was saying just a few seconds ago, God brought to my attention that he will share his secret plans with you. God is so amazing in more ways than one to me. I a lot of times become baffled at the way I look at the whole situation, worldwide type situation. I'm one of those type of people who like to look at the whole picture, regardless to how ugly the whole picture might seem or the whole picture might look. Some people only want to look at certain things and only want to see it their way, and the other way is this, that, and the third. But or they just simply ignore or try to ignore the truth that's right there at hand. But what fascinates me a lot is that here we have a great God who's in control of the whole world, who is sitting high and looking low. As I said, he's running things. He's really running things. And it baffles me at times that at an instant, at a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, if I'm going down the road and all of a sudden it's as though a car or something is about, you know, out of control, about to run into me, or I'm about to run into it, or I come off or whatever, and God intervenes. It's mind-blowing to me how God takes time out, because he is omnipresent, but it's amazing to me how he can take time out and intervene and make sure or come to your rescue or come to your aid and intervene and bring you out of a situation that may be horrible, but, you know, yet God turns a bad thing into a good thing. I'm baffled that when, you know, even when it comes to, you know, your health or your sick or whatever, sometimes, you know, you may be on a bed of affliction. It may take you a while to get out that bed of affliction, but yet he's there. He's nourishing. He's giving you your strength back. He's giving you your health back. He's healing your body. It's just amazing to me how he cares so much. He said that even the very numbers on your head, I mean, the very hair on your head is a number. So he really, really does care about, he really cares about us. So I'm baffled, you know, when he starts talking about how he will share his secret plans with you. Now, when I first looked at it, the first thing that came to my mind is that the plan is a secret. It's something that he's had on his heart. It's something he had on his mind, and he's had on his heart and he had on his mind for quite a while sometimes. I know in my situation, there's some things that he kept, excuse me, a secret from me for quite a while. And it may have even been a prayer, or it may have been a thought that he just picked up on, and he purposed in his heart and in his mind that he was going to answer this particular prayer, or he said he was going to fix this particular thought that was running through my mind. But yet he kept it a secret until, I guess you would say, the proper time or the proper moment. And I know, and who knows how long this thing has been a secret to him. And being in ministry, I start realizing, going through certain different things in ministry, I start realizing that there's a reason why sometimes he keeps things a secret to us, because quite honestly, if he doesn't, we may speak something prematurely. Yes, prematurely, which would cause hardship, may not actually stop the plan of God, but it may bring forth some hindrances. It may bring forth some battles. It may bring forth certain things that we're not ready to handle. And what I mean by that is when I look at the story of Joseph, God spoke to him in a dream. That was a dream, and that was a plan that God had for Jacob, not Jacob, Joseph. And it may have been just that Joseph may not was supposed to tell his dream, because once he told his dream, those around him who heard his dream became very, very ill with him. They became very jealous of him. They began to plot against him. And sad to say, it was that of his own kindred. It was that of his own family. They decided they were going to kill him at one point, but one said, no, he'd be our brother. We can't kill him. So they left him out and left him out there to the point to which some more people came along and picked him up and made him a prisoner. And as they made him a prisoner, they went back to the father and told a lie that, you know, he had been killed. He was dead. So sometimes God has plans for us, and those plans are secret. The thing about it is that when we think about it, those plans, even though they're secret, those plans are actually a blessing in disguise. It may not seem like it at the time, but they are. I didn't know I was going to go here today, but I'm here now. So Jeremiah, looking at Jeremiah 49 and 11, and this scripture right here is beginning to be, I'm sorry, 29, a very popular scripture. God is, you know, like every time I turn around, God is speaking this one a lot. And it simply says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Listen, whatever God has for you, or whatever plan he has for you, it is to give you or bring you to an expected end, an end. an expectant end, a good end, a prosperous end, an end where you don't have to worry about, you know, peace, evil. He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, and they're not thoughts of anything but peace and to give you an expected end. Now, when we're going through it, when we get to the expected end, and even though he say those thoughts towards us are of peace, and they are not evil, that doesn't mean that we're not going to face some things that's going to try to break our peace. We're not going to, doesn't mean that we're not going to face some things that's not going to try to break out, you know, where evil may not pop up. Because just as sure as God speaks of him, there is an adversary, there's an enemy, there's a devil who wants to discourage you and make you miss the mark. He wants you to, he wants you not to get what it is that God has for you. So, yes, the trial with the fiery darts is going to come. In some cases, you're going to be betrayed by some people that love that, well, you both loved at one time or another. In some cases, some people are going to leave you. Some people are going to mistreat you. All kinds of different things may happen, but you have to hold fast to what it is, the plan. You have to hold fast to the plan that God has revealed to you. You know, it's been like that ever since, like, the beginning, even with, like, Abraham. God told him to get up, move away from your kindred, and I will show you great and mighty things. Sometimes it's a request that God moves us away from some of our kinfolk, away from some of our people that may be around us, because they may not think the same way you think. They may not have the same faith that you have. They may be into something else totally, you know, that's not of God. Abraham's people, they were stargazers, they were moon gazers, and here it is, God tells him to get away from them, and if I can get you away from them, then I'll show you great and mighty things. And in a lot of cases, when that happens, it's because he's got to recondition your mindset. He's got to recondition your view on things. He's got to make you look above and beyond where you actually are at that particular time. And when he's doing that, what he's doing is preparing you. I didn't even know I was going to get it. But what he's doing is he's preparing you for greatness. God always does things big. And sometimes when we're in a place with people who God is not calling to the big place, to the big picture, you can become that. You can become hindered. You can become set into a particular place that you're not able to function the way God would have you to function. So it's necessary at some certain points, certain times, that certain people you have to let go. I don't know how common this way, but it is true. Even though God had promised the Israelites, he promised them, he promised to take them to the promised land. And by doing so, it even came to a point where he had to take them through the desert. They said they could have gotten, I can't remember the number of days, but they could have got there in no time to the promised land. But because of the people's unbelief, the Bible said they went through the wilderness, I believe it was 40 years, because of some people's mindsets. It wouldn't change. We have to remember, there were slaves, and from where God brought them from, they went from slaves to actually a great and mighty army. This is how God changed their mindsets. They were no longer slaves, but some of them still, from time to time, still had that slave mentality. From time to time, they would still complain and want to go back to Egypt instead of going forward. So because of that mindset, and he had to allow them to go around and go around and go around to where some of those with the unbelief could basically die out before those who could believe and could, that they were going into the promised land, he had to do that. See, a lot of times that's what when I listen to the word, God said he separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goat. That's part of the process in which God works in order to bring us into a place to where he can fulfill the promise, to where he can fulfill his plan that he has set up for us. So he says that he likes to reveal his secrets. He likes to reveal this. Even with the plan of salvation, Jesus, you know, that was is his most wonderful plan. To redeem man back into himself. The thing about it is that he, like I say, he does reveal his secrets. Let's look at Matthew. I don't know if I want to go right there right now. Let's see. Let's look at Isaiah 43 and 19. And I really believe that in some people's lives, this word could be pertaining to a lot of people's lives concerning this year. God's going to do some marvelous things amongst his people, especially if you've been those who've been obedient. Those that God has been promising, you know, things to you, when you've had to withstand some battles. I've had to withstand some battles. But nevertheless, God has been with me. He's strengthened me. And many times when I thought I was going down, he still gave me the victory. In Isaiah 43:19, it talks about, behold, I will do a new thing. I'm going to stop right there for a second. Because, you know, I've heard so many different times how people ridicule the church, or they ridicule, the church. And a lot of times they let it come out of their mouth. They're like, the church is boring. Or let's say much, something along those lines. Well, I'm here to attest to you that I haven't found church to be born. Since I've gotten saved, since I gave my heart to the Lord, I haven't found church to be born. I've found it to be great, marvelous, energetic. I have found church to be very exciting. And even more so now, he's brought me to a place now to where I am more appreciative. I don't know, maybe the pandemic had something to do with it or whatever, but now it's like when I come into the presence of the Lord, when I come into the house of the Lord, I understand how the word says coming to his courts with thanksgiving and coming to his house with praise. I'm in a place where I understand that. I'm in a place to where that resonates within my heart, just being able to make it into the house of God. Trust me, I've gone through much warfare to the point where there was times I felt like if I didn't make it to church, I wasn't going to make it. And I say that not loosely. I say that real strongly, because there's been some battles in my life. But I see here where God is saying, I will do a new thing. God is a God that is always doing something exciting, something that you can't do or I can do on our own, which sometimes can and does for one reason or another. Maybe a little frustrating, or get a little frustrated. And I say that from my point of view, because I've never really been the type of person that was actually a fighter. I never really wanted to kind of fight. You know, that's just me. I've been pretty much a person who's always about peace. But however, in this thing called salvation, it's like Paul said, you have to fight the good fight. Sometimes you have to fight the fight just to keep your faith. So you have to fight the good fight. Even Jesus said, kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violence takes it by force. Mm-hmm. There's some things that even though he may have promised you this, and even though he may have said he was going to give you this, there still comes a fight. And it may not be so much that the fight is physical. Most time, because he is God and God is a spirit, and those who worship God must worship him in spirit and truth. And in truth, most of the time that fight is going to be a spiritual fight. It's going to be a spiritual battle. So it's going to require some reading of the word. It's going to require some praying. It's going to require some fast. It's going to require sometimes some repenting. Sometimes it's going to require some forgiveness. But nevertheless, there is going to be some kind of fight when God starts revealing his plan, and when God starts talking about he's going to do a new thing. But like I said, you may say, you know, I don't feel like fighting. Oh, I have mercy. I was just there a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. But when you really start looking at the whole picture again, you realize that the reason there is a fight and the reason there is a battle is because God said it, number one. And number two is because it is a blessing. So the fight's going to be worth. The fight's going to be worth the blessing. You just have to be willing to do your part, because God's going to do his part. The minute it came out of God's mouth, it was already done. So, as I was saying, he was saying, I will do a new thing. I will do. He didn't say you. He didn't say me. He said, I will do a new thing. His only requirement in this is that we show up. We show up for the battle. It's just like when he said Judah first. He doesn't say, no need to fight this day. He said, just send Judah. Just send Judah first. Let them praise me, and I'm going to fight the battle. So that's what they did. They began to praise the Lord, and the enemies came against them. All of a sudden, began to fight each other. They wiped each other out. And the Bible says it took them, was it 3 days? Well, it was 3 days. 3 days or 3 weeks. I know it was three something for them to collect the spoil. The spoil, what was the spoil? Gold, silver, money, possessions, whether it was wagons, whether it was, you know, other material things that could have brought them wealth. It took them 3 days. Gather all that. All they had to do was show up for the battle, because it was something God said he was going to do. Now, I've learned a lot of times that we as Christians or we as believers, we get in a hurry. Yeah, I'm going to say it like that. Sometimes we get in a hurry, and sometimes we mess things up because we want to go ahead of God. We listen to what he says, or we hear what he says, and instead of us sitting back and taking our hands off when he said he's going to do a thing, we want to put our hands on it and try to make it come to pass prematurely. Yeah, prematurely. So this is where patience comes in. And that's why the word says, let patience do her good and perfect work. That means that way when it does come, the Bible says, you will not be lacking anything. Not anything. So he says here in 19 verses of Isaiah 43, he says, behold, I will do a new thing. And he says, now it shall spring forth. Meaning this thing, not, it's going to happen and it's not going to be far away. It's going to be something that's going to happen to you in your lifetime. He said, now it's going to spring forth. He said, ye shall not know it. Oh, no. I misread that. He said, shall ye not know it? I'm going to do a new thing. And now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? Yes, you should know it. The reason you shall know is because he's been speaking it to you. He's been speaking it to your spirit man. And that's how I can, if he spoke it to your spirit man, he has sent confirmation. He has sent confirmation either by you reading the word, or either through a prophet, or either through an apostle, evangelist, pastor, or a teacher. God always confirms his word. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let his word be established. That's what the word says. Out of the witness of two or three people, let his words be established. Now, he said, you shall know it. And he said, I will even make a way in the wilderness. In the wilderness, this is what makes our God so great. He don't want to do it in such a way to where, like I said, you can do it or I can do it. Because if you can do it and I can do it, there's no need for God. If you can do it and I can do it, people will say what you've done or what I have done, and God won't be getting the glory. So he wants to do it in an impossible type situation. He said, I'm going to do this thing in the wilderness. Do you not know the wilderness is a place pretty much of death? The place of wilderness. When nothing's really thriving, when nothing's really living, when a lot of stuff is just dying. You know, desert, wilderness. But a lot of times, that's where God does his greatest work. If I remember correctly, I believe it's Matthew 4, where Jesus, the Bible said Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. And during that time period was when he was tempted by the devil. In your wilderness experience, there's a lot of times in your wilderness experience, it's not so much because God knows what's in your heart. God knows when you're prepared to go through the wilderness. If he didn't know you were prepared to go through the wilderness, he would not send you. But in that wilderness is where he's shaping you, is where he's molding you. And in a lot of cases, it's in that wilderness that when we find out, that's when we find out what we're made of. That's when we find out what's on the inside of us. That's when we find out what we can endure. during that wilderness experience. In that wilderness experience, that's when you're going to find out, are you going to hold on to your faith, or are you going to try to take the shortcut? Are you going to hold fast and still continue to pray and fast and believe God, or are you going to take the hand out from the flesh? Are you going to move in the spirit? Are you going to try to continue to move in the spirit? Or are you going to try to start depending on the arm of the flesh? That's what God takes you, excuse me, through the wilderness. I just call it the wilderness experience. And let me say this. A lot of times in this Christian walk, you will experience that experience maybe more times than once. I know that most of us experience it right there very much in the beginning when we first get saved. But somewhere, and then again a little bit later after we get saved, because God is building us up. You know, most of us, when we come to God, most of us are really broken and torn and almost are like in a wilderness anyway when we first get there. But and then, of course, in order to keep us hopeful, a lot of times when we first pray, he'll just start moving, and he'll start, you know, meeting needs left and right. And then all of a sudden, it'll seem like everybody's drying up again. And that's that other part where I was talking about, another part of the wilderness, where he's beginning to teach you how to depend on him, how to trust on him and trust in him. But he's talking about he's going to make a way for you in the wilderness. I'm sure there's maybe someone right now that's listening to me on the sound of my voice right now, and you may be experiencing right now somewhat of a wilderness. But God is with you, keeping you. God is what we call it, sustaining you, even in the midst as we speak right now. And then it goes farther to say, that and rivers. Not only am I going to do this thing in the wilderness, but I'm going to also bring rivers in the desert. Who other than God can present and bring forth rivers in a dead place, in a dry place, in a place where there is no water? I'll do a new thing in some people's lives, some things that are going to be mind-blowing to some whose faith or thought that you shouldn't be this or you shouldn't be that. Hey, even like David, nobody thought David would once say one day, you know, the little dude out there with the sheep, crony little dude, sheep. Nobody thought that one day David would be king. That's the kind of God we serve. We serve that kind of God that will turn lives upside down if you're trusting. He will turn lives upside down. You may feel like you may have missed out on, but staying obedient to God, believing God, trusting God, that in itself can cause a great turnaround in your life. Not being haughty, not being prideful, but being humble. Yeah, humble. Humble will bring about a change in your life. The 20th verse says, the beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I have given water in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Notice, when he does this great thing, notice when he does this great thing, it's not just for you to benefit from. It's not just for you to benefit from. He said, when he bring the water to the depth, the beast of the field shall honor me. The dragons and the owls give waters in the wilderness and the rivers in the desert to drink to my people, my chosen. Go back. Let's go back. Let's talk back. Let's go back to Joseph again. The guy with the color of the many colors of the coat. That's a coat with the many colors. That's it. God's plan was for Joseph. The secret plan was for Joseph, but it was not just for Joseph alone. God had showed him in the dream that his brothers, his dad was going to bow to him, but Joseph had no idea. He had no clue as to how that was going to happen. He didn't know he was going to be lied on. He didn't know he was going to be put in a pit. He didn't know that he was going to be sold as a slave. He didn't know he was going to be in a prison. And he certainly, once he got in the prison, he certainly didn't think he was going to go from the prison, but he did. Because God said that's what he was going to do. And once he got into the palace, he was the governor, and he was sitting at the king's right hand, and there was no other person greater than Joseph besides the king. So Joseph pretty much was just running things. He was calling the shots. But there had been a famine in the land, which caused Joseph to send for his brothers, send for his dad. So the plan that was meant for Joseph, it was not just for Joseph. It was also for the ones who ridiculed him. The ones who had planned and plotted to kill him. The ones who had him sold as a slave. The ones who lied and said that he was no more. Told daddy he was dead, a beast in the field had killed him. And his remains of the blood and food. But daddy, he's long gone. That's enough to make you wonder, why would he send for those in order to give them life? You know, that is still the prototype of Christ. God gave his only begotten son that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have everlasting, eternal life. Yet when he came and he took on flesh and dwelt among us, some of them denied him, some of them persecuted him, some of them spat on him, called him a blasphemer, some of them had so much hatred towards him, so they chose to crucify him instead of crucifying a real, bona fide, known thief, crook, all of that. And it said, crucify Jesus. It said, give us Barabbas. Do away with Jesus. Yet, Jesus, on that cross, extended life to those who were out to kill him. Those that had done him wrong, extended life, eternal life. All we have to do is believe. All we have to do is believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died on the cross for our sins. Third day, God raised him from the dead with our power in his hand. And if we believe this with our heart and confess it with our mouth and accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, we shall have eternal life. We shall have eternal life. Be like one of the guys, one of the thieves that was on the cross with Jesus. And he looked at Jesus and he asked Jesus to remember him when he went into his place of glory. And Jesus said, surely this day, you shall make it in. He made it in. But there was another who spoke doubt, unbelief, and said, if you be the Son of God. And in so many words, I'm paraphrasing, get down from this cross and take me down also. That brother didn't make it in. It's a dangerous thing for you to know truth. I'm seeing, even in this country today, that a lot of us are seeing truth, but not accepting truth. It's a little bit of common sense to know if one is telling the truth or not. You can see it. I mean, even, I'm talking about a big range, large scope. All you have to do a lot of times is just add a little common sense, and you know whether or not somebody's telling the truth or not. If a report come out and all of a sudden the person says, it must have been planted. And then they come back and say, we gave them all back. And then they come back out and say after that, and then they find some more instead of, I'm going there. And then they come back and say, well, they mine. You got three different stories out of one certain mouth, and you still want to say that this is a reliable source to believe in? Come on, it don't take a rocket science to figure that out. Come on. It don't take a rocket science to figure that out. But you have to be careful not to believe things like that. We can choose. We know what the light is. We know what the truth is. Look at 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 4. Because it tells us about the latter times, or the latter times. Let's go 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, now the Spirit speaking expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with an hot iron. You know, you can believe a lie for so long till that lie becomes true to you. And the Bible talks about, you know, having your conscience see you to where you become void of judgment. You won't know what's truth and what's not truth because you choose to believe a lie. It's a dangerous thing If you know the truth, stick with the truth. The word is that we declare that the truth will make you free. So, Father, as we bring this to an end, as we bring it to a close, we ask, Father God, that everything that was done here, we pray, Lord God, that you blessed it. We pray that it falls on good ground. Pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that it found a lodging place in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls, and that it bring forth fruit, and that the fruit remain. Now, Father God, if there be someone here under the sound of my voice who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, we pray right now in Jesus' name that you give them a mind to make an intelligent decision. And we pray, Father God, that they at this time receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, that they won't have to die and go to a devil's hell. We thank you in advance. So if you're under the sound of my voice and you want to give Jesus your personal, make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, just repeat after me, Heavenly Father, I come to you as a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the sin for my sins. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. I believe with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. I thank you, Lord, for now saving me. I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I renounce Satan, and he has no more peace or no more part in my life. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Now, if you're under the sound of my voice and you pray this prayer, if you like to continue in prayer, you like more prayer, you can reach me on Facebook, Brian Blasingame, or you can reach me on Instagram, Brian Blasingame, and Snapchat, Brian Blasingame. But whatever you do, if you want to continue in prayer, hit me up. We'll be glad to pray with you, pray for you. Pray that you find a church that's Bible-believing, that's filled with the Spirit, where you can grow and mature in the things of God. And the next week, we pray that whatsoever you do, we pray that you do it in decency and in order, but most of all, do it for his glory. And with that, we say to you good night. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Kimmy Kim, thank you, dog. We love you. Will you please take us out? Amen.